Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine. We have a phone line open for you, so dial 888-ASK-HANK and join us on the show. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio this first day of July. What a privilege to be alive and serving God in extending His kingdom, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. We'll be going to your calls in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial to get your question answered live today, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Want to mention, as we start this new month, a book that I want to put into your hands as my way of saying thank you for your ongoing support this month in particular. I was at the National Religious Broadcasters last year, and my friend Rick Dunham put a copy of Secure into my hands. And as I went back to the hotel room, I opened it, I began to read it, and quite frankly, I just couldn't stop. Once I had read Secure, the first thing I thought about is putting it into the hands of our constituents, our supporters, as well as my way of saying thank you for your support in the month of July. So to receive your copy, all you have to do is check the World Wide Web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letters CRI. What I love about this book is that it is intensely biblical. Rick weaves a tapestry of truth that begins with Christ's warning that comes from Matthew chapter 6. We need to be aware of the natural inclination of the human heart to seek security in money. The way Rick puts it is, there is a lethal danger in that money provides a false sense of security that will keep us from wholehearted devotion to God. And Jesus constantly warned against this very trap. He goes on to say, I dare say that there are countless Christians today who are in danger of making the same mistake. Why? Because this is the natural bent of our hearts. We really do believe that money is a source of security greater than God Himself. It feels a whole lot more secure and a whole lot wiser to build a bigger portfolio. And it feels a whole lot safer to give priority to the stuff of the here and now. Of course, Rick could have left it at there, but he didn't. He goes on to provide clear and definitive biblical teaching on our view of money, giving our misplaced security an emphasis, and how that misplaced security plays into the spiritual battlefield, and even a chapter that he titles The Myth of Stewardship. So I highly encourage you to request your copy today as a way to bless you for blessing CRI with your financial support this month. By the way, I wrote the foreword to the book. I also wrote an endorsement on the back of the book, which says that Secure captures the ultimate irony of life and living. Security is not found in getting, but in giving. To read Secure is to take the first step towards turning this truth into experiential reality. Again, Secure, available for your gift to the work of the Christian Research Institute this month. I might say that last month we did not meet our goal, and so we need to stretch that goal out throughout this month. So if you can do more than your normal giving this month, it would mean a lot to the work of the Christian Research Institute. If you're an existing member of the Bible Answer Man support team, consider this month as well as an opportunity to give an extra gift. If you're not a member and you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having around the world, please prayerfully consider joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team today. And for your monthly gift of $25 or more, I'd be pleased to send you as well a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, or if you have that book, any other book that I've written. Just check it out, again, on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And now, right to our phone calls. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. First up today, Jason in Miami, Florida, listening on the World Wide Web. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for taking my call. And before my question, I just got to say thank you so much to you and the ministry for so many important things. I just want to ask the audience, please support this ministry. These guys are awesome. So
that's thank you, Jason.
Praise. And thanks to God for most importantly, for letting you guys do what you do.
Well, thank you. That was very kind of you.
Well, my question, Hank, is talk to a couple of skeptics, and they'll bring up the objection that, oh, if God is so perfect, why do people misinterpret his word or events that they see or his commandments? And my response has been that it's impossible for us to have free will if he were to give us an impossible to refuse interpretation. Does that make sense, and is that a wrong response?
Well, I think there's a germ of truth there, Jason, in that it is true that on the one hand, God could have given us the ability to fully comprehend him. But if that were true, we would be not only reflections of God, we would be reproductions of God. God made us as human beings, and as human beings, we do not have the capacity to bear the burden of omniscience. We are always going to learn and grow and develop, and that is not only true in this life, but that is true in the life to come. But even if we had complete knowledge, or requisite knowledge, we could still turn on God. And Satan is the perfect example of that. God did not create us in such a way that we did not have volition, although he could have again. He created us with volition because without will or volition, love is rendered meaningless. And he created us for loving relationship with him. In fact, that is the only way we find our true peace. Now, there is enough of God revealed to us, not only in general revelation, but in special revelation, that we know we can trust him. We have enough to understand his goodness, and we should be sufficiently supplied with that. When Job wanted to know more than that, God told Job, look, you can't even understand how I create a tiny drop of dew. How are you going to understand what is happening in the heavenlies? Trust me. He's given enough knowledge to us so that we can trust him, even when we do not always have the answer to the reason why.
So what would you say, then, if someone were to accuse that of just being a cop-out, saying, well, we don't have enough knowledge yet, what would your reply back to that be?
Well, knowledge to understand him?
Knowledge to understand. My specific example that I had in mind when I brought up this question would be so much different theological interpretation over perhaps even the meaning of one scripture. I think that's where the skeptics I talk to are coming from, too. And so they would say, well, I have this belief in God, but it seems that his people are even misunderstanding his words. And then if we were to say, you know, we're just still learning, perhaps we don't have all the information yet, they might say, I don't accept that answer. That seems like a cop-out.
Got it, Well, I mean, you're absolutely right in suggesting that we can fully understand the main and the plain things. I've said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the main and the plain things of Scripture are so apparent that a child can understand them. But the profundity of Scripture is so deep that even a theologian can drown in it. And the reason I put it that way is that God is, in fact, a God who is transcendent, a God who is beyond comprehension, a God that we will spend an eternity seeking to fully know. If we could reduce God to the status of fully being able to comprehend him, he wouldn't be God. God is far beyond our ability to fully comprehend, and again, it will take an eternity for us to begin to grasp the full complexities that are encapsulated in the one who saved us by his grace.
All right. Well, I'd love to spend hours with you, Hank, talking, but I want to keep the phone lines open. So thanks so much. Thanks so much for your answers, and God bless you.
You got it, Jason. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Don. He's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on KSIV. Hey, Don.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
I want to thank you for your program, your ministry. I truly do enjoy listening. Like the last caller, I think it would be incredible to sit and just talk with you for hours just because of your knowledge. But the question today is John 6:66. It just jumped out at me that it talks about turning your back on and walking away from the Lord. And it seemed like it was really a coincidence, maybe, that it was 666, chapter 6, verse 66. And I was wondering if it was intentionally put in that location. I'm not sure when the verse and chapters were numbered. I don't think there's any other chapter in the Bible that has 66 verses. So I was just wondering if that's, you know, a real strong indication of what the mark of the beast is basically turning your back on the Lord and walking away and choosing your own will.
Well, a couple of things. Very interesting that you have discerned this. First of all, the chapter has 70 verses, but beyond that, the mark of the beast given in the book of Revelation is not 666 or chapter 6 and verse 66. It is 666. And six. So it's not just three consecutive sixes, although there's a meaning imbued in that as well. So I don't think that this is somehow or other something to do with the mark of the beast intentionally given by its address. Although I do think that what you've drawn out of the passage is defensible, and I'll talk about that in a minute. I think what's really important is you also noted that the verse designations were not in the original text. That is something that has been added later. So again, I don't think there was an intent in 666. It is coincidental, maybe in some senses, though, serendipitous, in the sense that you are right in saying that from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Well, the mark of the beast is always contrasted biblically with the mark of the Lamb. The mark of the Lamb is the mark on all those who know and love Jesus Christ. The mark of the beast, vicariously, is those whose worldview and what they do demonstrate that they have no love for God at all. So I think there is a reality that you've drawn from the text that does make the distinction between the mark of Christ, which we find in Revelation chapter 14, and the mark of the beast, which we find in Revelation chapter 13.
Well, can you tell me when did they designate the, well, let's just call them addresses, I guess is the best terminology. When did they place the chapter and verses on the scriptures?
Well, you know, I wish I had that answer for you, but I'm going to have to look that up because I can't recall exactly when it was. But I will find out. If you continue listening to the broadcast, I'll try to look it up during a break, and I'll try to give the answer a little later on in the broadcast.
I absolutely will. Thank God, bless you, and thank you for your answer.
Thank you so much, Don. And as always, it is such a pleasure and a privilege to be in studio answering your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you Dial 888 ask, Hank, do want to mention as well, as we go to break, the Christian Research Journal, which is an award-winning magazine that, in my opinion, no Christian home should be without. It's dealing with cutting-edge issues, issues that are going to affect your life. These are tangibly important issues, including an article that I talked about last week, Sexual Sanity for Women in a World Gone Mad, a very important article, but that is just one of many very significant articles, including an article titled The Legendary Flat Earth Bible. This is important because critics of the Bible have been calling it a flat earth book for centuries, and some fringe Christian groups have joined in the act, affirming that the earth is indeed flat. What is the Bible really saying when it refers to such things as the four corners of the earth? The answer and the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. Check it out on the World Wide Web, where you can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion. And all this month, when you place the special offer code SUMMER, we'll give you one edition free, the current edition. Be right back.
Through his many best-selling books and a massive multimedia empire, Deepak Chopra has succeeded at convincing many Westerners to embrace Hindu beliefs and practices in the name of science, healthcare, and even Christianity. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, you'll see why Chopra is a spiritual force that Christians need to reckon with. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Just go online to equip.org. Or you can call us at 888-7000-CRI. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Secure is the personal and powerful story of Hank Hanegraaff's close friend, Rick Dunham. And it's a book that shows how you can discover real security based on something besides your paycheck, possessions, or portfolio. Secure is our thank you for your donation to help CRI create more broadcast books and other resources that share the essential truths of Christianity. Your partnership matters, so please call 888-7000-CRI to give your gift and request your copy of Secure today. 888-7000-CRI. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And of Secure, Rich Stearns, who is the president of World Vision U.S., said this may be the most important book you read this year. And then he said, in fact, I plan to read it once a year. Again, available for your gift to the work of the Christian Research Institute. Well, this month, let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jeff. He's listening in Hartman, Arkansas on KAYH. Hi, Jeff.
Oh, hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You can hear me. Yeah, I've been doing extensive research recently in vaccines and genetically modified food. And two things I'd like to address is, one, in the past, like Christians or even religious people, they're able to say, I don't want to get a vaccine for their children. But the government is going to try to outlaw this. They're making it really difficult. That's one thing. And the other thing is, I am wondering what you thought about is, you know, because Satan comes in many forms, and God's design is perfect. And why are we just consciously taking these genetically altered foods and these vaccines into our body when we really don't know, we don't really know much about it? The media just tells us they're okay for us, but actually, if you go on YouTube, there's so many wonderful videos about the other side of the story on how bad and awful and all the drugs that these things contain. So I wanted to get your thought on that.
Well, truthfully, my wife knows more about this than I do, but let me say this, that our own research has led me to the conclusion, and quite frankly, of late, that having a vaccine for things like the flu is generally better than not having the vaccine. And so I've just started taking vaccines for that reason myself. But again, there are those who clearly disagree with that point of view, and my wife happens to be one of them. So we have some pretty robust debates about this. She has the same view that you articulated with respect to genetically modified foods as well. And again, I'm not so sure that she's right about this, but there's a lot of debate, and it does require a tremendous amount of research. I mean, I think going back to her argument, you'd go back to those kinds of foods that you can absolutely trust to be good for you, and foods particularly that are devoid of pesticides and the sort. So again, she knows a whole lot more about this than I do. She's been doing research on this for years and years and years. So when I get in a debate with her on it, I usually lose.
Yeah, you know what? I did. There's some really excellent. Sometimes it's good to get the other side of the story to really get a good understanding. And boy, I've been doing the research lately, and I'm 100% convinced that it's actually vaccines don't really help you that much.
Well, I'd be interested to hear more from your perspective. I mean, this is something I'd like to learn more about. I haven't done the in-depth research that you're obviously doing and that my wife has done, so I'm always open ears.
Yeah, I would just go to YouTube, and there's like some wonderful, you know, videos, and you can just make your own judgment. But the FDA doesn't do any testing on any of this stuff. Did you know that? They just get only the drug company does their own testing, and of course they pay the FDA $20 million to promote their drug. I think that's what it costs.
Let me caution you on something that you're probably aware of. You cannot believe everything that you get on the internet. You have to be very careful about the sources that you use. Internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on.
Yeah.
But look, I'd be very interested in your perspective. Keep me informed.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Alex, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Alex.
Oh, hi. So my question was, I'm actually a pretty new listener to this
yes.
station and everything.
Welcome.
Anyways, my question is, it's along the lines of, like, animals being treated humanely and stuff. The whole them finding mermaids and things. But the thing is, my brother quoted the thing Jesus said, there are many rooms in my father's house, and this is just one of them or something.
Yes.
And
John 14.
He put it in the context of all animals and plants and stuff are in heaven also.
Well, I don't think that John 14 has anything to do with all the animals and plants being in heaven. However, having said that, I do think that you could make a biblical case that when paradise lost becomes paradise restored, that it will be replete not only with plants, but also with animals. If paradise lost had animals and plants, I think there is an extreme prejudice in supposing that paradise restored would not have plants and animals. So I think the whole idea of having plants and animals in the new heavens and new earth is for certain going to be a reality. As far as mermaids are concerned, there's no basis whatsoever to believe in them.
Okay. That's good. Because that was really confusing and weird.
Where did you hear about mermaids?
On the Discovery Channel.
Oh, on the Discovery Channel. Yeah, well, you know what? I think the Discovery Channel knows that they're perpetrating a hoax when it comes to mermaids. But, you know, television takes entertainment value, and entertainment value makes money. And so there's a benefit in promoting a hoax. It's often been called docu-fiction in various circles. And I think that's an apt term.
And, like, the whole treating animals humanely thing, I would think that falls under the golden rule, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Treat your neighbor as yourself.
Well, and I think that animals are among God's most avant-garde creations, and we should certainly treat them humanely. This is something that we're called to do as stewards of the creation that God has given to us. So Adam was not only to name the animals, but to care for the animals just as he cared for the created handiwork that God had given into his hands. So I think you're wise in saying that.
And one more question, this little thing. My brother, he likes to use, like, the science stuff to try to help, like, atheistic people come to God. And I think that's okay because it shows, like, how science in the Bible is sort of like the same thing.
Well, the Bible is not a book of science, but there's nothing in the Bible that would contradict science, and it is actually out of a biblical worldview that science arose in Christian universities to begin with. So science is something that could not have arisen in the Greek epic of time, for example, because the Greeks believed in a universe ministered by moody gods. Those gods were capricious, and therefore you could not learn to think their thoughts after them. However, Christians recognize that God had an imprimatur that he put on his created handiwork, and therefore we could learn to think the thoughts of God after him. I've written about this in some detail in the conclusion of my book, Has God Spoken? I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to E. Frank in Astoria, New York, listening on the web. Hi.
Yes, hi, Hank. You know, I'm just calling because I'm a little bit confused about something that some reverend from another faith explained to me, that salvation can be obtained, or Jesus Christ, with the blood of Christ, we can obtain salvation through a theological understanding. And this reverend, who is from a specific faith, I was always told never to mention the faith, but in other words, to put it in simple words, I really don't want to mention the faith, but as you well know, Hank, you know, the specific faith that I'm speaking about teaches that salvation can come from works, salvation can come from sacrifice, and salvation can come from teaching others a theological discernment of who Christ is through experiential understanding of the Bible. And I did tell this reverend, who actually is involved with a fraternity, which is considered a cult. He's also involved with another group of another group that's similar. And he says, by good works, by theological discernment, you can eventually have hope that you can obtain salvation. And I explained to the reverend, I will only believe in the blood of Christ and the Bible. And he explained, I believe that when I was I was taught in the seminary that dispensation of biblical scripture gives me the title of reverend. It doesn't matter if I come from another faith. I will obtain salvation like any other Bible-believing individual that is from any other given faith. And I explained to the reverend, I believe that perhaps you might be incorrect in your discernment because I was taught, and I've listened to a lot of programs that have taught specifically that salvation only comes from the blood of Christ, from the cross. It does not come from a discernment that was created to because of the conditions of the time or the understandings of the specific time period. And,
well, certainly before the cross of Jesus Christ, people looked forward to the sacrificial lamb who takes away the sin of the world through types and shadows. So there was temple, priest, and sacrifice, all pointing forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, Christ has come, and we look back at the cross and recognize that through the cross we have obtained salvation. That Christ on the cross did all that was necessary to reconcile fallen humanity with an altogether holy God. And thus, if we recognize that we're sinners, repent of our sin, and receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we have everlasting life. And those who receive Him are also baptized as testimony that they've been buried to our old life and raised to newness of life through His resurrection power. We are saved by His death, but we also receive new life through the crucified Christ, because when we embrace Christ, He lives within us, and then we can say with Paul, it is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. It's not I, but Christ. And the Christ that comes to live within it, the indwelling Christ, He gives us a life that is altogether other, a life that we could never experience apart from His goodness and grace. There is no other name among men through which we could be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Those are not my sentiments, but those are the sentiments of sacred scripture, and we can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. So while we can work from our salvation in gratitude for what God has so freely given to us, we cannot work for our salvation. It is wholly a gift of God, and we can merely reach out the beggar to receive the gift of a king. I'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please stay tuned for that, and the resources that I talk about on the show you can find on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Be right back.
19th century critics of the Bible invented the concept of a flat earth, and some very fringe Christian groups joined in the act, affirming that the earth is indeed flat. But as the current issue of the Christian Research Journal demonstrates, the Bible says something very different when it refers to such things as the four corners of the earth. To start your subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal, call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
God wants you to know true financial freedom. To live a life that is fully at peace, no longer under the weight of worry over money. To know deep within you are truly secure. Yet there's only one way to find the real and lasting security you long for. Secure is a powerful and personal book by Hank Hanegraaff's close friend Rick Dunham. And Rick shows you through his dramatic personal journey how real financial security isn't found in the amount of your paycheck, how many possessions you have, or the size of your portfolio. And Secure is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call today to request your copy of Secure and experience the financial freedom, personal peace, and genuine security God desires for your life. Call 888-7000-CRI.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We often look for security in places where it can't be found, in money, our career, or our health. That's why CRI's broadcasts are so powerful, as they help people discover the real security that's found in Jesus. But we can't do it without your help. Your generous support today helps us reach more lives with God's Word. And in thanks for your gift, we'll send you a copy of Secure by Rick Dunham, to help you clearly see the security Christ freely offers you. So please request your copy of Secure by calling 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our callers. Before we do, let me mention to Don, who called in the first segment of the broadcast, Don from St. Louis, if you're still listening. He had a question about the division into chapters and verses in the Word of God and when that took place during a break. I scurried around, found the answer to that question. It is simply this, that the division into chapters as we have them today was actually based on the work of Archbishop Stephen Langton in the late 12th or early 13th century, and then there were further division in terms of verses as we have them today, and that follows the work of Stephanus in the mid-16th century. So quick answer is from the 13th to the 16th centuries. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jim. He's listening in Creston, Iowa. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, I got a question. Matthew 24, it talks about the fig tree. Is that talking about when Israel become a nation again in 1948, and it talks about the last generation, and are we in it?
Well, no, it has nothing whatsoever to do with that. You have to read the context, and that makes it very clear that Jesus Christ is not talking about his second coming, but he's talking about his coming in judgment. Remember, in context, he has just left the temple, which he has pronounced Ichabod. And then he's walking away when his disciples come up to him and call his attention to its buildings. And then he says, "Do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And later on, as Jesus is sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples come to him privately, and then they ask him, when is this going to happen? In other words, when is the temple going to be destroyed? When is Jerusalem going to see destruction? And what will be the sign of your coming judgment and the end of the age of temple sacrifice when the temple is destroyed? And then Jesus tells them plainly, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have been fulfilled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So Jesus was talking about his coming in judgment. Now, those who know the scriptures are well aware of this fact. The reason is Jesus uses the language of the Old Testament prophets, and now he applies their language of judgment to the coming judgment and destruction of Jerusalem, including the words, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. This, again, is language that the Old Testament writers used when it came to destruction of nations. You can find this in Joel, you can find this in Isaiah. It is a common language of judgment.
I think we're talking about two different places. I'm talking about where it's talking about the fig tree is in bloom again.
No, I'm talking about the exact same passage, and I'm talking I'm talking about the exact same passage, and I'm giving you a context.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, hey, I got one other thing real quick.
Sure.
See they had the gay pride. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
How about the gay shame? I think that's what it should be called.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the things that is really important to recognize is that so many people today think that being gay is an identity, and I think that is the substantive problem. It's not an identity, it's a behavior, and it's not a behavior that is particularly helpful to human beings. And this is the opinion of God if you believe that the Bible is God's word. And if God is in fact God and he has given us the instruction manual, we should live within the parameters that he sets forth for us to live. He knows what's best for us. And when we live outside those parameters, there are always consequences. Those consequences follow inexorably like night follows day. But let me say this. For all of us, we need to recognize our own sin. We so often want to look at others and point at the speck in their eye when there's a plank in our own eyes. I am so aware of my own sin. Even as a believer, knowing that I'm covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I am constantly aware of my own sin. And I can say with Paul, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who can save me from this body of death? The good that I would, I do not. The evil I would not, I do." And this is the human condition, and this is why we should look at others with great love and compassion, recognizing our own sinfulness. And by the way, talking about the fig tree, I was just kind of thinking about that as I was talking. There are parallel accounts in the Bible where Jesus says, "Look at the fig tree and at all the other trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you know that it is summer." Thus, the fig tree and the other trees are used as an analogy for a generation that would not pass away, and to all the things discussed previously, Jesus had taken place. And the notion that this is an exclusive symbol for Israel is simply false. All you have to do is look through the Bible, and you'll find that Israel is referred to by all kinds of symbols other than fig tree. I want to go back to the phone lines, and we will talk next to Bobby in Atlanta, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Hank. God bless you, sir, and thank you for your ministry.
You got it. It's my privilege.
Yes, sir. Hank, I wanted to ask you, in Matthew 16, verse 28, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, was he talking about the resurrection, Pentecost, or the end of the age?
Well, he was talking about the end of the age, but not at the in the sense of the end of the world, but the end of the age of sacrifice, which is concurrent with the destruction of the temple. Also, there are many people who think this passage has to do with the transfiguration. But this is not what this has to do with at all. It has to do with the coming judgment that coincides with the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70. If he were speaking, by the way, of the transfiguration, most of the disciples would be dead in days, because Jesus said only some would not taste death until they saw him come in his kingdom. And obviously they didn't all die at that time.
Okay. One other quick question, Hank. The world today, Hank, do you think it's the way it is because the church hasn't been enough salt and light, or do these things have to happen before Jesus returns?
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think so often we look at the world and we say the world is the problem, but the real issue is that Christians have abdicated their responsibility to be salt and light, to be a testimony to the world. And when we become cultural imitators rather than cultural initiators, what happens is the world is definitively affected. Conversely, when we, like the first century church, start to recognize our responsibility to be leaven in the world, to be salt, to be the light emanating into the dark places, then society can be transformed. But remember, there are always going to be times of great apostasy, and there are going to be times of relative revival. But that will go on as a woman in birth pains up until the time that Jesus Christ appears a second time. So, you know, in this world, there's always going to be trouble. This world, as a result of sin, is going to have decay and destruction, disease and death, tumult and war. That is the condition of fallen humanity. So no matter how much light we shed, we cannot break the hold of sin upon the hearts of those who do not receive the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Does that also fall under the heading, Hank, of people who teach false doctrines and different things like that?
Well, it certainly does. And, you know, with false doctrine, there's a lot of fallout. The fallout is absolutely breathtaking. And that's why I've often said when those who claim the sacred name of Jesus Christ are on the airways dispensing spiritual cyanide by the megadose, they ought to be called out, because they are hurting the work of Christ, not only in destroying the faith of some, but also in dragging the name of Jesus Christ through the mud so that the world looks on and makes light of Christianity.
Yes, sir. Thank you. God bless you, Hank. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Bobby. God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Alicia. She's listening in Wichita, Kansas. Hi, Alicia.
Hello, Hank. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
That's great. I listen to your broadcast all the time, so it's a pleasure to be able to speak with you today.
The pleasure is all mine. Your question.
Yeah, my question is, I recently just started a new Bible study, and everyone is using the name Yahweh, and I did a little research in the Jewish Encyclopedia, because they said it was from the Hebrew language, and it does say that the name Lord was replaced Yahweh in the Bible that we read today, and I think Yahshua was replaced with Jesus Christ. And so my question is, do you know the reason behind that, of why they would replace those two Hebrew names?
Well, first of all, remember that the name of God for the ancient Hebrews was considered so sacred that people dared not take the name of God upon their lips. And so instead, they had an unpronounceable four letters called a tetragrammaton. That was YHWH. And again, it was as a direct response to reverence for the Almighty. So again, not wanting to pronounce or mispronounce the name or take the name in vain, they simply had those four letters. The Old Testament writers substitute a word for that, and that is completely arbitrary in some sense because, again, the tetragrammaton is unpronounceable. So the only way you can pronounce it is by adding vowels to it. Those vowels have variously been rendered in different ways, in different pronunciations. The most common way in which this is now rendered in the text of Scripture is Lord. Adonai was the title of God, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Yahweh, the unspeakable four letters representing the name of God, carried with it the concept of eternal or self-existence, and as such it was frequently applied to Jesus Christ, and that's why Jesus Christ is called Lord in the New Testament as well. So you can use Lord or Jehovah or whatever you want because the tetragrammaton or the name of God were ultimately originally given in unspeakable letters. I'm going to have to leave it at that because I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live on air. When you dial 888-ASK-HANK, look forward to seeing you right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, check out your subscription to the Christian Research Journal on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and help believers sharpen their discernment skills. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org, or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip,
www.cris.org.